and I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures of faith are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn my own into death. Beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn morning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're
today. You're just so good. You take the dust of the earth and you breathe your breath of life and your Holy Spirit into us. And we are made in your image. You're so glorious. And we just thank you, God. We just lift you up this morning.
would we be, God, without your sacrifice? Great is the grace that would reach across the great divide to bring us life. All glory to God alone. Praise to the one who gave it all. Name above all names. In Jesus. All glory to God alone. Praise to the one who holds the throne. Name above all names. In Jesus. Was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy. above all names, be exalted as your glory fills this place. You are the top praise, you're the name above all names, be exalted. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise.
Because you are worthy. And because of all that you have done on our behalf, we become worthy in you. We know that we're, well, not all that worthy on our own. We know that because the more that we learn about you and the more that we focus upon what you teach, what you declare, we can see that you're lifting us up, but yes, you are lifting us up, not the other way around. You've designed us in your image. We know that there is a part of us that yearns to connect, yearns to follow and be obedient to you. And we know that throughout our life and when we die and go to heaven, your name is the one and only password we need, Jesus. You are the one and only Son of God. You came to declare God's love to the whole world. That when we believe in you, we're no longer perishing people. But we are people that are truly learning what it means to live abundantly, full, purposeful, and secure in eternity. As we pray, we lift up those around us that are in need of healing and direction and resource. As we have much in this COVID lockdown year, we we pray for our city leaders, our state leaders, our governmental leaders throughout the United States. We pray for world leaders. We also want to pray today for those in this city, across the United States, across the world, that are proclaiming the truth about you. Jesus, in these moments, draw us close to you. As we celebrate your supper today, remind us that you're a God who gave all that you had, your very self, your body and your blood, so that we might move from death to life and we might enjoy all the blessings that you bring. Allow us to celebrate them. Help us to share them with those around us. So once again, Jesus says, we worship. We want to worship you both in truth and in spirit. Be with us in this important moment today. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So let's thank those leading us this morning. Yay! I guess I'll have a little pile right here. I guess that'll work. In terms of announcements or things that are happening in the life of the church, I do want to thank you. We continue to move closer to our goal in the Refresh the Sanctuary Building campaign. Things are happening every day. We will be here three services on the 50-minute mark, or as close to that as I can get. For the whole month of May, our goal is to have a little party over on the other side the first Sunday in June. If everything gets delivered resource-wise, we should be able to keep that timeline. But as you all well know, there are some scarcity of things you need when you want to build something or repair something. So we'll be endeavoring to move forward. We were doing some more painting last week. We're about a week out before we start the overhaul of the bathrooms and the kitchen. So thank you for your generosity. And yes, I think your chance to be a part of this is irreplaceable. We all need to come together in this time to make this project a successful one. We had a great week of ministry this week, and you've made that happen as well. Just lots of kids on the campus. Rick and Basic Beliefs even had some new people join online and in person on Wednesday and Thursday. Lots going on with the youth. So it's going well, and I want to just let you know, more and more people are coming back to the campus here in worship and in programming during the week, and so we're moving forward as safely as we can, but we are definitely moving forward. Today, Catherine Cote is going to read our scripture passage.
Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about all these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need.
We're on week four of our internal journey. Week one, we realized, well, we don't have what it takes to really move us forward in a meaningful, purposeful way in terms of God's plan and God's destiny for us. We can't. Week two, God can. God can save us. God can bring us along the path that He has in store for us, adding in great meaning and purpose to our life, more beyond ourselves and more than beyond the moment or two that is before us. Week four, we want to not only let God, but we want to give all that we have to God. Remember last week we talked about we hold things back and we take things back from God. We need to be all in. Our aspiration here as a church is to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. A fully devoted follower. And that means giving all areas of our life, every aspect of our life to Jesus. Let Him lead it. Stop taking back what you gave to Jesus. Allow it to remain in His hands. Allow Him to forgive you and move you forward in life. And so our aspiration to give all to Jesus, to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, it really is about having heart habits, about focusing upon God, about allowing God access to all those relationships and settings and circumstances in life. The heart reflection, the heart habit we need is that we have to enter each and every day seeking a purity of our heart. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5:8. God blesses those hearts that are pure, for they will see God. Now we're praying we want to see God. We want to see God act over here and over here. We want God to respond to our request. We want to feel His presence and His power and His peace in our life as we move each and every day. That comes to the person that is pure in their heart, working to let God transform their life. John wants us to understand that what God wants to do is He becomes the leader of our life. And as we become those created in His image, those that He fashioned, that we become more and more the person that God wants us to be. And that's about more freedom, not about more bondage. When you know the truth, face the truth about yourself, It will set you free. God can set us free, and God does set us free if we cooperate with Him. If we give Him all the areas of our life, and you know, I'm like you, I kind of want to hold back those dark, deep things that I think somehow God won't forgive, and then I'm ashamed because, well, I should know better, shouldn't I? A pure heart means that we're allowing God to move in us and through us. Now, three things about a pure heart. Number one, a pure heart is about being real, not about being religious. Religion says to some people, don't. And so some people have experienced religion and they don't want to do that ever again. They don't want to do that on a daily basis. Now we know Christianity is about a relationship, not a religion. And Christ calls us into an authentic relationship, a real relationship with Him. He wants us to experience the freedom that he died to give us. And so a pure heart of religion is more about our motives than anything else. Having pure motives. Having a pure aspiration, not wrong motives. Jesus points that out in Matthew 6:1. What good is it if you bring your offering and you do it for what? The accolades of other people, to impress other people. Jesus said, no, that's not the right motive to respond to me in tithing and offering to me. And James reminds us that we're mixed motive people, doesn't he? He says, you know, you got to choose. Are you going to be a prideful person or a humble person? Are we going to seek to just have some purity in our life here, here, and here, but we don't care about purity about our life over here and over here? It's having authentic, pure attitude and emotion, thinking and acting towards God. And as we move along the purity of heart, mind, and soul, we find ourselves not missing out, but being freed up. And we don't need a religion, we need a relationship. We need God's presence and God's power and God's peace in our life. So don't forget, purity of heart is not about religion, but it's just about us being real before God. Bringing all the things that are good, and yes, bringing Him where we're broken, where we falter and fail, where we might be missing a piece or two in the puzzle of life. Number two, purity of heart is really not about how good we're trying to be, but it's about how good God is. When we focus on how good God is, we find a freedom when it comes to doing what is good and right and just in our lives. Again, the focus is upon God and not on us. And God is in the habit of helping us. God has done good things for us. And so we need to receive those good things that God has in store for us. And it is a purity of heart is a shift away from our efforts, our desire to be good, but it focuses on the reality that God is good. And he's good for you and he's good for me. God demonstrates his goodness to us because he is a God that is willing to forgive us. He forgives us as we confess to him the impurity of our life, our faults, our failures, our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, our sinfulness ought to cause us to run to God, to confess to God, to receive the forgiveness that he has for us. But you know, oftentimes our sin, well, it gets us running away from God. It gets us hiding from God, and that's a hurtful hiding too. And we do that because of the guilt and the shame that we feel when we've failed in God's eyes, when we've sinned in God's eyes. And when we focus on God's goodness, we are drawn to give back, to get rid of those things that are binding us up, not freeing us in life. And I think we've all experienced some of the bondage of when our good works fail. The bondage that happens when we think we have to live our life up to everyone else's expectation. And the expectation that is the one to live for is the expectation that God loves you and he does have a home for you eternally. And with him at the center of our life, as we aspire to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, then we have a home here on earth, more than a house, a true home. So we shouldn't let our sin get us on the move in the wrong direction. Instead of running from God and your sin and mistakes and failure, run to God. And we can run to God because of all that he's done for us. Remember, it's about God's goodness, not how hard we're working to be good. Because when we focus too much on ourselves, then all we feel is the bondage of guilt and shame. And we miss out on what it means to be a forgiven person by God. Someone who has been cleansed from all unrighteousness. The great thing about confession is it allows us to evaluate our life. Lamentations 3:40. Let us test and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. If we embrace confession, if we can embrace that we're not perfect people, we're aspiring to be pure heart, mind, and soul. We haven't arrived yet. And God knows that we haven't arrived yet because we won't arrive till we get to heaven. What helps us in the sanctification process is giving all that we have to God. Even the things that we're ashamed of or feel guilty about. People often say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Oh, I think I have. And if I haven't heard it from you, I've heard it from someone else. There isn't anything honestly confessed before God that God will not forgive. And when he cleanses our soul from all unrighteousness, we now have a fresh start and a new beginning. And we need to come back to the Lord and get back on his path for our life. Because we've wandered off, we've been steered off one way or another. Purity heart is about being real, honest, open. Purity of heart is focusing on what God does, what he can and will do in our life. It's not about our hard work trying to impress God. Thinking that somehow these 10 good things that we do will somehow automatically cancel out the 2 bad things that we did. And we're all old enough to know that that's not the case. And confession is God's great way of helping us be real, helping us to be free from the bondage of sin. A third thing we need to remember is that if we aspire to have purity of heart, we need to remind ourselves that's a process. It's a process. We are continually becoming more and more like Jesus. And because we're continually doing that, God knows we're going to make mistakes. God knows that we're going to be imperfect in that. And so the key is not the addition of this, that, or that over there. It's simply about having our life be less about us and more about Jesus. Jesus can purify our heart. And he does that each and every day that we confess. He uses that to move us along in the process of sanctification. And so our focus, Matthew tells us in chapter 6, is to aspire to a purity of heart day in and day out. And that is about bringing into our life the priorities of God. And then we learn in Matthew 6 what those are. What are the priorities of God? Are you living the priorities of God? Look first of all at your activity, Matthew says. Is your activity trying to build up your credit and wealth here on this planet, or are you storing up treasures in heaven? And let me tell you, if you want your reward now, you will miss out on the great reward that God has for you in eternity. Because the Bible is very clear about that. God blesses the life of the person that tithes. God blesses the life of the person who is generous in their offerings. In fact, when we're generous with our time, talent, treasure, and touch, it's in those moments that I believe we feel most pure in our real relationship with Jesus and one another. Okay, let's look at our anxieties. We all bring some anxiety in to worship today. Some of us, it's a great anxiety. For others, it's perhaps a small anxiety. But to be human is to err and to be a little anxious, a little worried once in a while. And it's interesting here in Matthew 6, we're told not to be anxious about the things that we're often anxious about. Number one, finances. We worry about finances. We worry about food. We worry about how fit we are or how out of shape we are. We worry about our fashion, and I've not really run into a person that doesn't have some anxiety as they look to the future, especially after this year. See, if your priority is heaven, that impacts your earthly living in a positive way. What are our ambitions in life? Right? You look at your activities, what you have on your calendar, what you do with your time, talent, treasure, and touch. You get in touch with your level of anxiety and where you're worried, and that too, you bring that to God and ask for His provision. And then, in the end, what is our ambition? Well, Jesus tells us that we ought to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And is our number one agenda when we wake up in the morning, as we begin to bring focus to our day, is our number one priority to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Yeah, that's a great ambition. That ambition will fuel your entire life each and every day. When we pray, Jesus, help me to keep your kingdom priorities, my kingdom priorities today. I don't want to go through life today all by myself. I'd rather go through my day today with you next to me. And as I go, please tell me how far, which direction. A pure heart. What does it take to have a pure heart? One, you just got to be real. You won't find it in religion. But you will find it in a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Our heart will be purified as we focus on the goodness of God, not our good efforts that always fall short of the mark and miss the mark from time to time, don't they? That's why we need God's love and confession. We need to examine ourselves. And as we do, let us look at what our priorities are. Sanctification is a process. That process is fueled by the right priorities. And so it's worthy of evaluating our activities, our anxieties, what our ambitions are in life. It's hard to believe that Jesus' ambition in life was to give His life so that we might have life. Paul reminds us that whenever we celebrate this meal, we should not only give thanks, but we should ponder the condition of our own heart and soul. And so as we take communion today, well, what do you need to give to God? What is it that you've held back, and what is it that you've taken back? And where is it, where are you as you've given it all to God and you've given back what you took back? Where do we need to confess today? Is it about some activity that we're a part of? You'll know your weaknesses as a fallen person impacted by original sin if you look at your anxieties. Do I really think it's up to God, or in my lacking, is it left up to me? Am I stuck with a mediocre life because that's the best I can do? And then it's a time of dedication. doubling down on our ambition to keep the kingdom of God as the number one priority in our life. Yes, it's true, a pure heart is more about being with God than it is about our doing. On that night, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. He lifted up the bread and he declared it to be true. This is my body, broken for you. Then he took the cup. He blessed it. And he said to the disciples, "This is my blood that I willingly shed for you." A God that gives us life so that we can have life. We know Jesus was a real person. He had a real death. We knew he was God. He had a real resurrection. And in communion, we're reminded that God brings resurrection, his heavenly purpose to us each and every day. And he does that out of love. He does that as he lavishes forgiveness upon us when we confess our lacking to him, our need to him. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let us pray. Lord, you know what we've confessed to you today. Through your Holy Spirit, forgive us. Cleanse our mind, heart, and soul of the unrighteousness that's there. The tendency to go our own way and do our own thing. And not that that's always bad, but the guilt and shame we feel, that tells us that we've been living for ourselves instead of living for you. Lord, today we place our activities and our anxieties and our ambitions at your feet, at the foot of the cross. Help us, Lord, as we leave to take up all the blessing, all the good things that you have in store for us. Lord, help us to enjoy each and every day that we are a part of the expansion and the enrichment of your kingdom till one day we too are called home to spend eternity with you. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John 10:10. Jesus said, "I have come and I've come to give you the full life that only I can give. Receive that great gift and live that great gift each and every day. Amen."